I'm going to call the Subcommittee on Natural Resources for the Joint Committee on Ways and Means together for the June 15th, 2017 hearing. And we're going to start off with a public hearing on House Bill 2725 related to wood smoke pollution. Would you tell us a little bit about that, please, sure. Sir?
Chair Frederick, members of the committee. House Bill 2725 appropriates $1 million in general fund to the Department of Environmental Quality to be deposited in the Residential Solid Fuel Heating Air Quality Improvement Fund. The funds will be used to support the wood smoke reduction program, which works with local communities to reduce wood smoke emissions through wood stove changeouts, education and outreach, and wood stove curtailment. DEQ has indicated that no additional FTE would be required to administer the program and the increased funding.
Okay, I have a list right now of five people who want to speak to this, and I'll just go down the list. Well, I'm sorry. Senator Prozanski, were you here to speak to that?
I am, Mr. Co-Chair, and also asked if the mayor from Oak Ridge could join me.
That would be fine.
That presentation.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, committee members. Thank you very much for taking up House Bill 2725A. My name is Floyd Prozanski, State Senator, District 4, representing parts of Lane and Douglas County. To my left is the mayor of Oak Ridge, Jim Coy, and Jim was here to also give a presentation as to how Oak Ridge has actually been dealing with the issues that this bill will, in fact, help enhance in addressing the reduction of air quality emissions from solid fuel burning devices. I had the opportunity through with the mayor to be part of some of the group work that has happened at in Lane County regarding the Lane County Regional Air Pollution Association or organization. And from that perspective and also working with the mayor, he has brought me up to speed as to the issues that have been plaguing the area of Oak Ridge, which includes Oak Ridge as well as a small community to the west of West Fir, to some levels as to the quality of the air. As you may know, Oak Ridge is one of the areas in the state that has been under compliance issues and non-containment area designated by the federal government and the EPA in conjunction with DEQ as to their enforcement. This is one of those situations that the bill has gone through multiple changes. We believe that the bill, as it is currently written, will provide for much more participation across the state for various communities to be able to implement the different programs that have worked successfully in their communities and also reach the goal that we all have as to ensuring that we are, in fact, reducing the air quality emissions that are, in fact, very hazardous to the communities and the members of the citizens who live in those areas. So with your indulgence, I'd ask that you go ahead and take the testimony from the mayor, and then we'll both stand for whatever questions you may have.
Sounds fine. Mayor Cooley, good to see you.
Good to see you. Good afternoon, Co-Chair Frederick and Co-Chair Witt. Hello to the rest of you. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see Representative Helm and Power. They came down for a little tour of on a different item, and Representative Witt as well. So this bill is something that has changed dramatically since it first began February 1st, and it's something that would be extremely beneficial to our community. For those of you that don't know,
hold on just a second. You need to introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you would, please. Thank
Jim
you.
Coy, Mayor of Oak Ridge.
Thank you.
I got you know, he showed up, and that was just kind of
sorry.
Anyhow, we're the only city in the whole state that's in non-attainment, and there are others that are on the verge of. One of the things is most of them have received funding from the legislature, and we have not. So this funding package would be extremely beneficial for us. We've been able to correct somewhat a 20-year. Issue that we've had with air quality, and it's all based on wood stoves. And if any of you have been to Oak Ridge, you know it's a small valley, and we get inversion layers, and winter time, sunny days, no wind are horrible for us. It's great to see, but half the town then is socked in. So the funding for this would be great. We've done a lot of work over the last 2 years to at least be somewhat compliant. I mean, the DEQ and the EPA still say that we're in non-attainment, even though we've achieved attainment. It's a process that we have to go through as far as, and Rachel can talk about more of this, but being able to come up with a management program that will be a 10-year management program. We've been able to do what we've done to go from an average of 40 with a threshold of 35 to last year being at 21 and our three-year average at 31, which is a huge thing considering we did it with very little money. We've had some help from the DEQ and LRAPA, some grants from the Reeser Foundation and from the Oregon Community Foundation have helped us get to where we are, but we're at the end of our road at this point. One of the things that has helped us over the last 2 years has been favorable weather. You know, we all had a lot of rain last year, but any sunny days we had, we always had wind, and that's what benefits us. If we don't have those windy days, then we're going into red days. We've only had one in the last 2 years, so that's been beneficial for us and helped us achieve these numbers. But without funding, we're going to be lost because we don't have any more grant applications that we can send out. They've been mostly one time. We have submitted an application to the Oregon Solutions, which is in process. We have not heard the final determination yet. It sounds like it's going to go through, but we don't know what's going to come out of that. So at this point, that's what I have to say. Like I said, we could use the help. We've done a lot of hard work and a lot of volunteers helping to make this happen. And like I said, we've just kind of hit a wall at this point to go any further with it. Thank you.
If it would please the co-chairs and committee members, I'd also like to just point out some of the stuff that, the mayor's being a little more modest about not bringing forward. Well, some of the stuff that they've done, they've actually hired a compliance officer. This compliance officer is helping educate in the community and actually get word out to ensure that people understand what is needs to be done and how they can do it. And the education program has been relatively successful from what I've been told. And one of the things that they've been able to do is actually provide access to seasoned dry firewood. As you can imagine, in many areas, without the proper education and knowledge, many people are burning or use of greenwood is actually causing a detrimental impact. And based on Mr. Mayor, I'd ask you to just maybe give a little snapshot of what over the last 2 years and seasons, how this has worked.
So we've created a committee 2.5 years ago that started working, and it's Lane Electric and the Forest Service and St. Vincent de Paul, city staff, the Southern Willamette Forest Collaborative, and HACCSA and others. And we came up with a plan. We have what they call, we give exemptions for people that can burn, that are sole source, to burn on red days. And those people still have to be compliant, but they're allowed to burn on those days, and no one else is. So like I said, we've been blessed with some weather that we haven't had, but we did create code enforcement, and we've had some help from LRAPA to pay for that. It's a half-time person that is focused in the winter on air quality. The wood program, as the senator mentioned, is something we've done with some other partners like Roseburg Lumber, Seneca Lumber, J. Davidson Construction in Oak Ridge, and city staff as well, is where they're donating usable slash, and we've been able to haul it in, and then we have a local vendor that's been able to cut it up. We've been able to sell it at reduced rates, usually in the $125 range for a cord of seasoned fir, which you all know, if you burn wood at all, that's a really good price. But it gives us a 15 minutes before that individual to educate them as to how to burn properly. We've been able to achieve this without changing out one wood stove. Now, we know we have in this exemption group, which is about 60 households, we know that about a third of them have non-compliant stoves. We've done inspections. We've used LCC inspectors to go in and actually inspect the home, inspect the stove, find out whether they need to be weatherized, find out whether they are indeed sole source. And the other partner has been Lane Electric, which has helped supply last year, I think, 48 ductless heat pumps. Our plan is, with this funding, is that we would hire a project coordinator, because I can't do it all the time. And you know, I still have to work, because, you know, we get paid so much to be mayor. And
maybe more than that.
I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Mileage doesn't go very far. So, you know, that would be part of it, expanding our education. The WOOD program has been very successful, but we've been able to do it on a shoestring. You know, city staff has donated. You know, we haul it with Public Works and our trucks, and we're not really getting much back from that as far as cost goes. The collaborative has been involved as far as helping to sell the wood and get the word out that we're selling the wood. We've been able to sell 110 cords in the last 2 years. And it's all been free wood. And that's between code enforcement and that, I think, and the education have been how we've been able, and the good weather is how we've been able to correct this. We believe that we can eliminate the problem. But, again, it comes down to funding. And that would be, you know, a four-step approach, project coordination, ductless heat pumps, weatherization for those that need it, and compliant stoves for those that need a compliant stove. I don't want to be the one that tries to take wood stoves away from people. That's not something we want to do in Oregon. And I think we have a good plan. You know, I was part of the task force last year that the DEQ had as far as how to come up with a solution for this. One of the recommendations from the committee that worked on this was that, you know, Oak Ridge would be funded in emergency funding. Klamath Falls, Lakeview, Prineville, you know, others have had funding that they've received, I think, 2 years ago from the legislature. And like I said, it'd be beneficial for us to go the next step. I think we've created a good idea and a good theory, and I think it'll work. But it does require funding to do so.
Yes, Representative Esk.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Your Honor, explain to me your criteria, because I assume that you have in place a green day, a yellow day, and a red day, which means your air quality depends upon which you can use. A green day, you can burn any stove.
Correct.
A yellow, you usually be able to do certified only. And a red day, nobody can burn. But is that what your criteria is at this point?
To a degree. So the red day, no one can burn except those that have an exemption. They still have to be compliant. So they still have, we have, and we're, again, the only city that has this, a 20% opacity level. So we've actually paid to have staff go out and be trained in what that is. Our code enforcement and our police department do this, but we also had some firemen do this. We had some public works go through this and just some staff because, you know, you can't be all places at all the time. So if you see something that looks like, hey, somebody's violating, because it's hard to read 20%, but you can tell 50% pretty easily. All of us could.
Okay, my follow-up?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you were talking about replacement or weatherization. Do you not receive CDBG funding?
No, we do not.
You don't? Your municipality doesn't?
We're too close to Eugene.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's a bad deal.
Yes, but it is.
The other thing is, doesn't your people have the ability to go to the gas company or the electric company and get weatherization for their house?
Plus? We don't have any gas.
Well, but what about your electric company?
The electric company will, but there's a huge list. And HACSA is the one that manages that list. And, you know, we're a blip on the radar. So, yes, they do get some, but I think in the last 15 years we've had probably 6 weatherizations.
Is that PP&L?
No, Lane Electric.
Co-op.
Co-op.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, the question I have basically is where the money comes from. This is general fund revenue. And I was curious as to if we explored within DEQ where we could get the money from other funds or from federal funds. Has that been, did we look into that? And why are we using general funds for this?
To the co-chairs and to Senator Girard, unfortunately, I don't have the answer as to why the general fund was obligated as compared to any other source funds that could come from DEQ or some other resource. I'm not sure if the mayor and his discussions when the bill was being worked through the policy committee, if that came up or not.
Not that I'm aware of. It's, you know, we've tried and we've knocked on every door we can knock on to try and find funding, and there just isn't. I don't know where this came from as far as making a general fund. That's up to you all, I think.
Anyone else? Yes, Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mayor, it's a remarkable record that you've made in terms of reduction in wood stove emissions in your community. I think that should serve as an example across our state. Just a tremendous job.
Thank you.
And you know, I like the underlying wisdom in that we can get people to do the right thing without taking their stoves away from them. That is admirable as well. And as I say, I think you could serve as a model. And if we were to use general fund money to fund your project, would you in fact be willing to go out and educate other Oregonians on the success of your program?
Absolutely. And like I said, we were part of that task force that worked last year. And again, Rachel can talk more about that as to how many. I think there was like 20 of us. We had 5 meetings scheduled between Bend and Eugene. And, you know, I think a lot of the testimony that came out of that, or the work that came out of that, is very beneficial. But, yeah, I'd be willing to do that. We've spent a lot of time, and I've learned more about this than I ever thought I'd know or wanted to know.
Well, and I just want to say, too, that I thoroughly enjoyed the breakfast I had in your community, where I get to meet the city council and the fire chief and the police chief and on and on, and we were all good friends in about 5 minutes. So it's a wonderful community.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bill Kluding and Alex is it Kyler? What is it?
Yeah.
Kyler. Okay, I was right.
Okay. Co-chairs, Senator Frederick and Representative Witt, members of the committee, I'm Alex Kyler. I'm Lane County's Intergovernmental Relations Manager. I did submit some testimony on OLIS earlier today regarding the issue of in front of us on House Bill 2725, which would place money for the first time into the solid it's a mouthful. It's a solid fuel heating air quality fund, I believe, is a fund that's managed by DEQ. And I say for the first time because it would be the first time that the state has actually put its own money into the fund. My understanding in talking to DEQ staff that in 2009 there were some federal stimulus monies that came through and were placed into the fund, and that did fund some wood stove replacements in the state of Oregon. Lane County's been interested in this issue for a while. It's one of our legislative priorities. Administratively, earlier this year, we we expanded some language in our agreement with Oak Ridge whereby they can have additional authority outside city limits but within the UGB to regulate emissions from wood stoves. That was one of the issues, is they were sort of feeling like there was some fugitive smoke that was coming in from outside of city limits. So we think that is one action that we took to sort of help them stay out of non-attainment once that gets recognized by the federal government. The other issue for us is something that exists in both Lane County and Klamath County, and the mayor referenced it by saying he was too close to Eugene. The issue is that Lane County and Klamath County both are considered to be part of a metropolitan statistical area by the U.S. Census. And so what that means is that the entire county is painted with an urban brush, because of the existence of an urban center. And so what happens in this case is that Oak Ridge, which is a very small community, has gotten into non-attainment, but the feds see that as the entirety of the county is painted in non-attainment. And so our issue is that that comes with some additional standards for air quality mitigation that we would very much like to have eliminated. And the only way it is to make sure that Oak Ridge comes out of the non-attainment status and gets through what I believe is a 10-year period of what's called maintenance. We think that this funding would go a long way to helping them. You've heard they've created some very good methodologies for addressing the problem that work in their community. And we worked along with a bunch of other stakeholders to amend House Bill 2748 this session. And I'm happy to report that bill did make it through the process and got the governor's signature, and that gives some additional flexibility to the use of this fund to allow for the kinds of programs that exist now or that Oak Ridge has been successful with, and they could further fund those programs via this fund. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill, please.
Vice Chair Frederick, Whip, Committee for the Record, Bill Cluding, Carpenters. First, let me say that this House Bill 2725 is a good bill. Talking about funding or lack of funding, I don't think we can put enough funds in this program and help the people in the state of Oregon. As you look through this sheet, this handout, it's an old sheet I put together over 10 years ago, and I'm going to have to update it because there's a brand new study out now on emissions from forest fires in this state. And I'm going to go around this kind of backwards. If we could stop these forest fires, if we could clean up these forests and get that woody dead material out of them forests, get them dead dying trees out of them forests, we wouldn't have these catastrophic wildfires. For an example, I used the factor of a forest fire. If you burn 20 pounds of material, how much emissions it puts out. Well, this new study says catastrophic fires will burn 40 pounds of wood. And how they do this now, they special equip these DC-8s with the scientists are right in there, all the new equipment's in there, and they hover as slow as they can right in the middle of the flumes of these major fires. And it measures everything. And it pales. What they found, it pales what I have wrote in here. Eugene's in a Springfield, they are in a critical spot. I'll give you an example of where we're going wrong. U.S. Forest Service, wisely, on the McKenzie River drainage, east of I-5, they want to go in and clean up 15,000 acres. Dead and dying. I've been in that forest. It's dead and dying. The ground is foot and a half deep. And guess what? A local environmental group, home base is Eugene. They filed the appeals to stop it. This is our problem. Now, we are spending state money, our money, working with the federal people in the forest in small scale to clean up, get some of this material out. This is where we're missing. The federal government's waltzed around this issue now for 20 years, 25 years. They're still waltzing around it. We could be pelletizing all this stuff. We could be burning pellets in these wood stoves. People would have good heat, good clean heat. Mm-hmm. And it might slow down some of the problems that I have listed here at the bottom. Medical problems costing billions of dollars. But yet, the federal government waltzes around it. DEQ hasn't helped out much because they still fail to register in their graphs on greenhouse gas emissions, anything about forest fires. They still don't register it. I'll read out what they do. Transportation, 34%. Waste, 3%. Residential, 17%. Commercial, 14%. Industrial, 25%. And agriculture, 14%. No forest fire emissions percent at all. How are we going to draw the Fed's attention if we don't even list it in our state? We could put 1,000 people to work in those rural areas. We could clean these forests up. We could snap these counties. We could give them an economy and provide the people in Oregon with clean air. But it's up to us. This is a good bill. This could be a start. This state has thrown away millions and millions and millions of dollars on projects that never worked, but yet we could have been doing this. When Portland has to drive around with their headlights on in the daytime because of smoke, when Medford has to drive around in daylight with their headlights on because of forest fire smoke, this is where we're going wrong, folks. Thank you. I'll answer any questions.
Any questions?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Chair Webb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know that what's going on in the local community is a countywide problem, and I'm just wondering if the county, if it would be worth it to the county to go in partnership with the state in helping to fund some kind of program.
Co-chairs, Representative Witt, I've actually been contemplating that very question. We do have, as you know, economic development dollars that come through as a result of lottery funding to counties. I think those would probably be an appropriate use of those dollars. What we would like to do is, the fund that would be created, depending on the action of the committee and indeed the remainder of the fiscal health of the state as you struggle with that through the rest of the session, but depending on how much you're able to put into this fund, will probably dictate what the proposals that get generated look like. And in the case of Oak Ridge, I think we'll be waiting to see what that looks like and if there is an opportunity for us to help and match those dollars in order to ensure a recipient like Oak Ridge would get those dollars. I think we'd be very willing to do that.
Thank you very much, because I just think that it might make it easier if Lane County were in partnership with us. So,
and that's certain. I guess I'll just echo a little bit, but of what my co-testifier here suggested, which is that Lane County, you know, used to be a very large recipient of federal timber dollars, and we've just seen those dollars decrease like crazy. So, in the old days, we would have had no problem with this kind of thing to assist on local issues, but that's gotten really very difficult since the downturn due to the listing of the Northern Spotted Owl back in 96, 93, something like that.
It's a familiar refrain from much of rural Oregon. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, too. And let's see, we have Tracy and excuse me, Jim. Thank you. And be sure to introduce yourself.
Okay.
I always forget that myself. So.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Co-Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt. For the record, Tracy Rett in the League of Oregon Cities. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today in support of House Bill 2725. The League very much supports recent and ongoing efforts to address wood smoke challenges at the local level, as well as the opportunity to dedicate state funding to help Oregon communities who have long struggled from wood stove smoke impacts. As you've heard, these challenges include both potential health impacts in those communities, as well as economic impacts due to the threat of being designated as a non-attainment community under the Federal Clean Air Act. In addition, when we talk about lower income residents, there is a very serious and real need to approach the issue of addressing wood stove smoke from a perspective that recognizes the need of those residents to be able to affordably heat their homes. For this reason, we recognize that the best methods for addressing these issues vary by community. We also believe that the local level is the right place to try and come up with these solutions that work the best for those local communities. As you already heard from Mr. Kyler, the passage of House Bill 2748, I believe, already created the needed flexibility to try and allow for that local perspective to try and really, I think, allow these communities and open up the opportunities that they have to communicate one-on-one with their residents, those that are most significantly impacted by this issue. I do want to note that the final report that came out from the work group that was referenced had indicated $3 to $5 million per biennium as the need to help address this issue in a real way. So we really do support a $1 million contribution to this effort. We really see this as a critical issue for some of the communities that we see as struggling the most and really having challenges and being able to economically address this issue on their own. So we appreciate the opportunity to testify in support and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? No?
Chair Frederick and Co-Chair Witt, Jim McCauley representing Washington County here today. We're in this a little bit differently than I think most might suspect from Washington County. We're not known, I think, as a, smoke-limited area, but we actually, back in 2012 and 13 and rolling up to 14, were essentially one measurement away from getting a non-attainment standard, which would have triggered a whole set of regulatory oversight from EPA as well as DEQ. And for us at that time, that was the last possible thing we wanted to have. I think Alex Kyler kind of explained that this wasn't just going to be a hit for Washington County. It would have been the entire airshed and would have been part of the entire metro region. So at that point in time, we essentially initiated quite a bit of internal work and some community outreach, which included really kind of the starting point of our program, education. We were using Boy Scouts who actually went out house to house in some of the targeted neighborhoods because we had essentially a map overlay that showed the hot spots of where those PM 2.5 levels were at, and we're able to target the actual neighborhoods that needed to have the focus of our education efforts first off, and then ultimately, as you'll hear later on here, building into how we've essentially started our own self-funded exchange program. So basically by March of 16, we were able to essentially come up with enough resources. The county itself put in a little over $700,000. We had matching funds from private companies in the region in a neighborhood of around $225,000, and basically gave us a really solid start on a robust effort. Our first year effort, we were hoping to get basically 50 households in the program. We have blown way past that and are on target to get somewhere above 250 households in really the first year of this program. And I think our interest in this bill, as well as the policy bill, was this is obviously a statewide concern. Cities like Oak Ridge are in that non-attainment at this stage. We are at risk. So anything that can come forward, both in terms of the policy side as well as some investment from the state for some matching funds, would go an incredibly long way. I think our estimates at this point is we're going to need somewhere in the neighborhood of 700 to maybe 800 households go through this exchange program. The interesting, I'll say, what I submitted within OLIS and stuff is to see where those changeouts or those exchanges have occurred. About 60% of the households that are in the system right now are shifting into an EPA-certified wood-burning stove or pellet program, which, again, is what we're after here, because the last thing we wanted to do is, for some of these families, push them completely out of being able to burn wood. But you also have almost 40% of that same group of households that are doing a complete conversion to either gas, where it's available, as well as electric. The other part of this program for us is that we are basically financing 100% of any household that's below 80% MFI. So if for a family of four in our county, that's a little over $58,000 as a household income. If you look at it from a two-person income or a family of two, it's around $46,000, $47,000. So if you meet that income level, you want to make the conversion. The county will put money into it. We'll take advantage of the other credits that are available from the utilities and basically bankroll that exchange. And so far, again, it's been successful. We are fortunate that we actually have the resources to be able to do this kind of self-funding. I think it's a template, actually, that can be certainly exported across the state in terms of how we kind of move through this process. So we learned a lot, I think, from the mayor of Oak Ridge of all the things that they ended up doing with some of the education when our folks were putting this together internally. And any kind of financial commitment from the state to get matching dollars, not just in 1 year, because this is a several-year type of program, would be terrific, and we'd be able to get ahead of the curve on this and essentially either eliminate the type of risk that we would face for a non-attainment in our region or other regions, or substantially reduce it out by going through this kind of exchange program. So I appreciate the opportunity to be able to support this bill today.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, Chair Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim, you kind of have a unique perspective here, given your past career and your current one. When Representatives Power, Helm, and I went to Oak Ridge, we were on a tour that showed some efforts to thin and otherwise restore forest health in the immediate Oak Ridge vicinity. And the slash was being piled where it would dry over the summer and be prepared for burning, literally torch it, when the weather conditions were appropriate later in the year. And based on that, we had with us a manufacturer of wood pellets who said that part of the challenge that they face as a pellet manufacturer is a transportation costs over a certain distance. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could replace some forest products jobs that used to be Pope and Talbot jobs with a new pelletized manufacturer in the local community, and not be torching slash piles and reducing air pollution in the airshed over Oak Ridge at the same time? Are there any programs that you're aware of that you know, as a state, we ought to be looking at moving in these directions?
Co-Chair Witt, I wish I had a closer tie to the pulse on some of those programs that I once did, certainly in the past when I was working forestry issues. I think there have been efforts for quite some time to try to build the biomass industry from a component of both energy generation, but also trying to provide the raw material supply for the pellet stoves. I'm guessing those folks are probably the best to be able to speak with about this. But I think the concept of piling slash and burning it, as opposed to piling slash and trying to recover it for use as a pellet or energy generation, is a much better long-term solution for dealing with it. And I could probably rattle on for days to talk about forest health or forest management.
I bet you could.
I don't think my son would appreciate it. It would put him out of work. He's a wildland firefighter, so.
I'm sure he'll have enough work, unfortunately. Thank you.
Point well made. Thank you.
Any other questions? No? Thank you. Representative Alyssa Kinney-Geyer, I understand you want to testify.
Hi, co-chairs, members of the committee. I'm Alyssa Kinney-Geyer from House District 46, parts of Southeast and Northeast Portland, here to represent the bipartisan team from the House that put forward both House Bill 2748 and 2725, I think this one is. Representative Mark Johnson, Representative Mitch Greenlick, and I all have supported both of these bills, the policy bill, which ended up with almost unanimous support. It was the Eugene, the Lane County delegation that didn't support it because they were concerned about some lack of flexibility in the policy bill that this fund would be used for around their feeling that 70% that in the original bill for the rebate program for wood stoves was not going to meet the needs of some of the smaller communities like Oak Ridge, who really needed more money that would go toward educational materials and things like the cover that would allow wood to dry and other kinds of ways that they could support reducing wood smoke. So when it went over to the Senate, that flexibility was built in. It passed unanimously there. It came back for concurrence. We fully support it. That was the policy piece. This is the funding piece to do it. In light, I may not be that popular in this room, given there's a lot of support for this program. I just submitted a letter to OLIS, and I said, in light of that, I would respectfully request that you consider $500,000. That's not the million-dollar request in the bill. If there is new revenue or enough cost containment that we can loosen up some dollars, we do think that this is an incredibly worthy cause, and we would recommend $1 million, but I do want to be sensitive to the deficit needs. I really hope that it wouldn't go below $500,000 because, as you've heard here, it's very important in terms of both public health and economic development for communities that are either at non-attainment or close to it. And I also just want to note that none of the communities that are in those positions right now are my own communities, but I have a background in public health, and so you probably remember I've done several attempts in previous sessions and in this session around reducing toxics and environmental hazards, including this time around hazards in schools, as well as demolitions, asbestos and lead and demolitions, as well as household hazardous waste. So this would be the fourth in that series. And I do very much care about it from a public health standpoint. And I also know that anytime we support economic development anywhere in the state, that helps the whole state. So for that reason, I'm very supportive of this fund.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, you've been instrumental in helping solve a number of problems in some of the communities in my district, former timber communities that, not unlike Oak Ridge, face a number of problems. I want to thank you for those efforts. I want to thank you for this bill. I am wondering, when you mentioned the $500,000 figure, would that be contribution by the state, or would that be a match, the state paying part and other entities another part?
Well, my hope that would be the state designation for the fund, and I know that in rulemaking or as they develop this program, DEQ is open to, and I've discussed with Palmer Mason, the idea of having a match out there. I think there's a lot of support. I know in Washington County, they've got people, I think, ready to step up. And I think that we could leverage this fund if we had $500,000 and we're able to leverage matching grants depending on the availability by community. It's probably very hard in Oak Ridge to get much of a match, but I think in certain areas of the state, you absolutely could. I do want to mention Washington County and Mr. Co-Chair, the work in Vernonia, and you were asking about the ideas of pelletization manufacturing plants. And I know when we worked together on the Vernonia Schools project that was using biomass for its own boilers, and the city was looking at doing a whole plan and getting the whole city on that, one of the ideas was to build a manufacturing plant for pelletizing the Human Health Forest Health project that Catherine Mader was involved in. So this is bringing back great memories.
Yes,
and
yes.
You can see, even though I'm a good Southeast Portland resident, I do care about the rest of the state. Thank you for your work on that.
Thank you for all of your very good work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? No? Well, then I think we are done for the day.
I'm Senator Helm. Mr. Co-Chair, I just wanted to make a comment about the work here, what Oak Ridge has done and what is needed. As you know, Representative Power and I were part of the team that did the policy work on the underlying policy bill. And in that, I supported the flexibility for Oak Ridge because of the great work they've done. And I wanted the co-chairs and the committee just to understand that what Oak Ridge has done is unique, it's outstanding, and it's more than we should expect other communities to do. And the reason I say that is because Jim isn't going to be there forever, right? Just like us. He's not going to be there forever. And so somehow, with both policy and money, we have to institutionalize this program so that, you know, a strong guiding force like Jim isn't necessarily to be there to make it work and keep communities out of non-attainment. And that's why we need this pot of money, and that's why we need to continue to stick with DEQ's primary recommendation, which is over time we need to chip away at replacing these stoves. It's because you're going to have new owners, you're going to have new leaders in every one of these communities. I want to keep Beaverton and Washington County away from anything close to noncompliance, because we've got a lot of big industry there that needs their share of the quality air. So great work in Oak Ridge. I don't want to take anything away from that, but over the long haul, which this is going to be, we need this money, and we need to be replacing stoves as well as finding creative solutions to making the money go farther. So thank you for that, Mr. Coach. Sure.
Anything else? Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at the DEQ's air quality program narrative in the policy option package 114. They requested $100,000 per biennium in general fund to supplement $172,000 in their current budget for local communities to implement wood smoke reduction programs. So I'm just curious, kind of goes to what Senator Girard asked earlier about, is there a reason why it needs to be general fund money, and is that in addition to what, if this budget passed or passes, is that in addition to what they're already going to receive to do the wood smoke reduction for the communities? And maybe it's a question for the next meeting or something. But
yeah, Chair Frederick, Representative Lewis, I couldn't speak in detail to DEQ's budget, unfortunately. DEQ is in the room if you want them to speak to it, or we could try and address it next time.
Yeah, Palmer, if you have an answer, that would be great. Oh, sorry, both of you.
Co-Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Palmer Mason. I'm the agency's legislative advisor. Representative Lewis, to your question, I think what you're looking at is the agency request budget. So this is the budget that got approved by our Environmental Quality Commission back in September, actually approved in August and submitted to the governor in September. When the governor was trying to develop her balanced budget, she did not include that $100,000 of general fund in our budget. So that doesn't exist today in the budget that's been presented to the legislature. The 172 that you referred to was retained in our budget and in the governor's recommended budget. That is general fund money that we get to give to communities to help do some of the things that have been talked about here today, things like helping the communities with outreach and education, helping to advise citizens on the burn days that were talked about, you know, helping the communities have folks on staff to go and talk to homeowners how to best use their stoves, keep them clean, that type of stuff. That's what that money goes for. But there's no additional funding, and there is no recurring dollars for the broader set of things that are talked about in House Bill 2725.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
It also talks about awaiting a final report in House Bill 3068. Do we know what the status is of that and when that report is to be received?
We do, Representative Lewis. That report was submitted by DEQ to the legislature last September, and it was the culmination of the advisory committee that you heard the mayor and others refer to. It was a really good group, and Rachel Sakata here, my colleague, was the one who staffed that, and they submitted that, or we submitted that report in September. It does mention some other potential ideas as funding, but it didn't make any recommendations around a particular funding source outside a general fund. The two main recommendations of that report were that we continue the very good work of helping local communities advise on burn days and do outreach and education and have staff. That was the primary recommendation. And then the second recommendation was dedicated money like the type contemplated in House Bill 2725 to provide recurring dollars for wood stove replacement and some of these other things to address the problem that Representative Helm talked to, that over the long term, the recommendation was based on the idea that the best thing we can do is replace these older stoves. That's the best strategy over the long term.
Thank you very much. Rachel, did you have anything you wanted to say?
No, thank you. Palmer pretty much covered it all.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Well, I'm going to close this hearing on House Bill 2725, and I'm going to close the committee meeting on during the committee meeting on natural resources for today. Thank you. Natural resources.